Welcome to the Real Live Faith Podcast. I'm Shelby.
And I'm Janice. Life is a parable. All of creation points to God the Creator. We're going to be talking about how we see this in action in our everyday lives and how we use our good days and our mess ups to grow in our relationship with the Lord.
We don't know in what season of life you find yourself currently, but let this be a season of new life and growth. Join us as we talk about having real faith in real life.
Do you ever stop to think how powerful advertising is? Whether you're a fan of Super Bowl or not, I think we can all agree that the ads on Super Bowl are very powerful. And really, it takes that finished product all dressed up to attract our eye. That's what advertising is. It appeals to our wishes and desires, and it tempts us to make a purchase or to obtain something in some way. Kind of deceiving, though, because it often dismisses that process that was taken to derive those results. You know, we scroll on our phones, on our laptops, on our iPads or tablets, and we drool over the images of decorated homes, beautiful construction, nice clothes, trim and fit figures, lush and pristine landscaping, even food. But we never see the images of the hard work that was put forth over the weeks, months, maybe even a year to achieve the desired outcome. We only see the end result. We never see the hard work, sweat, and tears that went into achieving that end result. And really, it cheapens the finished product and lessens its worth. We see the pretty pictures of things that we would like to have for ourselves, like a clean home or a fit body or a mature faith, but we're not willing to put in the work to get those results ourselves. Instead, we covet and we feel sorry for ourselves.
We can appreciate the effort others put into their process better if we've tried it ourselves a time or two. Hard work isn't always pleasant or enjoyable, but if the end product is worth it, we can endure the initial effort with a better attitude. Now, we can all agree that wishing upon a star and having a result materialize instantaneously would be much more convenient, but that's not reality. Hard work must be done. And actually, it's biblical. Look at Genesis 2, verses 2 through 3. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work, which God had created and made. God set the example for us with work. He worked, and he took pride in his work. He put in effort. He could have snapped his fingers and bypassed the process of creation, but the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says he worked. Not only did he set the example to work, but he also put Adam in the garden to work. Genesis 2:15 says, "Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend it and keep it."
Yep. So here's the thing. Even in the most amazing paradise of Eden, work still existed. Maintenance was needed. Nothing was automatic or given without effort needed to ensure its continuance. How silly of us to want the desired results, but not want or expect to put in the time and effort to achieve them. Friend, there is no shortcut.
If in the beginning God created everything good and God created work, then work is also good. You say, hold on. Work isn't good. Sometimes it's even miserable. Well, think about what else happened in the garden. Man sinned. And as punishment for sin, the ground was cursed. Adam's responsibility to work never changed, but the environment he worked in was now going to be difficult, harmful, frustrating, even sometimes unreliable. So sin is the cause for us experiencing all those same things in the work that we do. It's not fun. We don't want to suffer and be miserable and slave away at something for very little reward that takes a long time to finally receive anyway. Most of the time, we don't think it's worth it, so we refuse to do the work at all, because what's the use? Especially when someone else has already done it, can do it for me, or there's another solution where I don't have to work and earn it myself. But you know what that's called? That's the definition of laziness. Here's what the Bible says about lazy people in Proverbs 13:4. The soul of a lazy man desires and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made rich.
Well, we may have a desire for many things, but are we willing to apply ourselves or put in the work required to make that desire a reality? Nothing is free. It always takes work. But too many times we look around at the finished product and we fail to acknowledge the time and work that was required. We see the new home construction, but take for granted the workers. We see the clean and organized or decorated house, but we disregard the preparation of it. We see the fruit of other believers, but we don't even consider the time they spend getting right with the Lord, praying, reading their Bible, being doers of God's word and not just hearers only. We see someone's paycheck, but we forget that they spent time learning that skill and putting in the hours to earn that paycheck. We see someone's hard work, but we fail to see their sacrifice. And the problem is, if we don't watch out, we start to get into that victim mentality of, that's not fair. They have fill in the blank, and I don't. And it's really sad because, you know, as people get into that mindset, you know, trying to play the victim and, you know, poor pitiful me, you know, I deserve this, I deserve that. Well, we deserve nothing, right? If you want to know what you really deserve, read the Bible, because we deserve a lot worse than we think we do. The other thing is that a lot of times, you know, when people get into that, I deserve this, I deserve that, you know, they're wanting the end result. They're not wanting the work, like we said earlier, but instead they just want someone to do it for them.
Yeah, and there's a big passage about that in the book of Amos, chapter 4, verse 1. It says, "Hear this word, you cows of Bashan, who are on the mountain of Samaria, who oppress the poor, who crush the needy, who say to your husbands, bring that we may drink." So these women were ordering their husbands around to get them things that they wanted, but they weren't doing anything for themselves. They were oppressing the poor, so they were abusing the people who had nothing to get stuff for themselves. They crushed the needy, so instead of giving of what they had and being generous, they kept everything for themselves and thought only about what they wanted.
They reclined on the comfortable couches, eating their grapes, wanting their husband to go and fetch them lemonade and tea and make me a sandwich for lunch. And
yeah, they didn't want to put in the effort to be a Proverbs 31 woman. And so it's easy to think that, well, I mean, what's so bad about wanting to relax and have somebody else serve you for a chance? Well, you may not always see it, but there's a joy that comes from doing work. Ecclesiastes 5 verse 12 says, "The sleep of the working man is pleasant, whether he eats little or much, but the full stomach of a rich man does not allow him to sleep." When you put in the effort and earn your money, be it a lot or a little, it feels good. Honest work and honest pay give a worker more appreciation for their possessions. On the other hand, the money hungry, who are never satisfied and take advantage of others through dishonesty and pride, like those women we just read about, those people are never content. They lack the joy there is to be had through the reward of earning what you have. And that reminds me of Ecclesiastes 3, verses 12 and 13. Solomon said, "I perceived that there is nothing better for them than to be joyful and to do good as long as they live. Also, that everyone should eat and drink and take pleasure in all his toil. This is God's gift to man." So working is a good thing. And Solomon was recognizing that work is a gift from God and there's benefit from it.
Yeah, and so when you see something like a nice manicured lawn, don't be tempted to think it's such a heavy burden. You know, someone did the work. Someone spent hours every week mowing, trimming, fertilizing, pulling weeds, planting, you know, planting seed, watering. And when you see those beautiful flower beds or that bountiful garden, don't forget the time that was spent tilling, planting, preparing, and harvesting. Instead of considering that time and that money and effort that went into things, sometimes we often choose to covet and envy that finished result. We tend to render it free, as if it's deserved to be delivered to us in its complete form. And that's what makes coveting and envy so easy. It completely dismisses the idea of hard work and that something is earned. Instead, it just wants to take and have without any strings attached or any other responsibility or obligation tied to it.
Yeah, and what you said about coveting and envy, that reminds me of Ecclesiastes 4, verse 4. Solomon says, "Then I saw that all toil and all skill in work come from a man's envy of his neighbor. This also is vanity in striving after wind." So even if you are working hard, you can still not be fulfilled in your work because you're doing it with a wrong motive. You're doing it because you're jealous.
I think a lot of people do that. You know, they see what their neighbor has and they think, well, I can do that too. And so they work to try to achieve the same result that the neighbor has.
And that can be seen in today, people who are the ideal version of what we think that we should be. So you see some mom homeschooling her kids and planting a garden outside. So you try to do the same thing. You think it looks good and you're like, well, maybe I can have what she has. So you try to keep your kids at home and put a garden outside, but your tomato plants die and your kid is bad at math. So you don't have that joy that Solomon's talking about when you're doing your work because you're doing it out of jealousy. You're trying to keep up with somebody else.
Right. And you're not doing what he was talking about in Ecclesiastes 3:13. You're not taking pleasure in your work. Instead, it's become this heavy burden to you. You know, and that's, everybody just wants the easy way out. They want the shortcut. They want to do something. They want to take the path of least resistance. And I think that's why diet pills are so popular. You know, people covet those trim and fit bodies of others and they want it now. They want it yesterday, right? They don't want to have to work for it. They don't want to have to practice discipline and self-control and putting down the fork and stepping away from the table and closing the refrigerator and not consuming so much. We just want to have immediate results and we want the highest reward right now. But you know, covetousness and envy are deceiving. They try to convince you that there's an easier way, there's a shortcut. And so they have deception at their core. And their mission and goal is to make you miserable instead of content. It's not wrong to want to be healthy. It's not wrong to want nice things. But what is the motive of your heart?
That's a good question. And it would also be good to compare your answer with Acts 20, verse 35. And everything I showed you that by working hard in this way, you must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. The point is, don't take shortcuts. You miss the rewards. When something is free and given to you and you didn't work for it, it's easy to discount its worth and value. So you miss the blessing that comes with the sacrifice. And friends, the blessing is so much greater than the sacrifice.
If you have not placed your faith in Christ, why wait? Seek him and call on his name for salvation. Confess that you are a sinner and repent of your sin. Surrender to Jesus today and place your trust in him as Savior and Lord of your life.
Thanks for listening to the Real Life Faith Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please share us with others so they too can learn about living out real faith in real life. You can check out our blog and shop at reallifefaith.com and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Gab Social. Don't forget to sign up for our emails to receive exclusive subscriber content. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you in the next episode.